Second chapter of the book of Acts chapter 2, and if we can get that slide right up there, Acts 2 verses 37, or 36, right through to verse number 47. All right, we're just waiting, and waiting. It's coming. Maybe I pulled a fast one on them this morning. I don't know. All right. Well, let me read it. And if you get it up there, that's fine. But listen to God's word as I read it to you this morning from Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse number 36. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and to the other apostles, Brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord your God will call. With many other words, he warned them, and he pleaded with them, Save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized. About 3,000 were added to their number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, and to fellowship, and to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods. They gave to everyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Thank you, and you may be seated. Now, I'm not going to go on very long this morning simply because I know that I might have some mad mothers because I know that everybody's going to go out and they're going to enjoy their meals today, and everybody's looking forward to their special time with Mom. So I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time this morning, but just to hit on a few top key thoughts, because we are dealing in our Believe series. It's a teaching series on discipleship, of what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And today we're looking at the very basic idea of the church and what the church ought to be. Some of us think of the church, we think of a building. We think of steeples. We think of stained glass windows. We think of all kinds of things, pastors and deacons and people like that, people greeting you on Sunday morning and welcoming you in pews that sometimes are a little too comfortable. All kinds of things comes up in our minds when we think about the church. But we know that the church is different today than maybe what it intended it to be in Acts chapter 2, because the passage of scripture we just read tells us about the day the church was born. And on that day of Pentecost, when the church was born, there was no such thing as Baptists or Methodists or Episcopalians or Pentecostals or anybody like that or any group like that. It was just the church. The church. C-H-U-R-C-H. Now, what is the church? What is the church supposed to represent? Well, some key thoughts here for you, and I'm just going to leave it at that this morning. The key question is this. How does God accomplish his plan on this earth? Does God have a plan for this world? I believe that he does. He does. And it's important, an important plan. Because way back when Jesus was speaking to his disciples in Matthew chapter 16, he said this. He said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I will build my church. Jesus has been building his church from ground zero from day one. From way back on this day of Pentecost, as recorded in Acts chapter 2. Now, when we think of the church today, in my mind, I think we've perhaps strayed a little bit from what it was intended to be. The church of Jesus Christ is an amazing, not an institution, but it is an organism. It is a body. So the key question is, how will God accomplish his plan? The answer to that is through the church. God is going to accomplish his plan through the church. Now, here's the next question. How will God accomplish his plan through the church? And the key question and the key idea is this, that I believe the church is God's primary way to accomplish his purposes on earth. Let's say that together. I believe the church is God's primary way to accomplish his purposes on earth. His purposes. What are his purposes? His purposes are to proclaim, his purposes are to that the body of Christ, the church, would take as many people to heaven as possible. That's basically his purpose. Now, I know the church has gotten sidetracked and all kinds of social issues and things like that, and you know, there may be a place for that. But still, the basic purpose of the church is that heaven itself will be overpopulated. And I'm not sure it really will be overpopulated, because heaven is eternity. And there's unlimited space in heaven. There's unlimited opportunity in heaven. There's, you know, in heaven they're not going to need preachers. Thank God for that, probably. In heaven, there'll be all kinds of choir directors. You'll have a job there, you know. Right? And there'll be all kinds of singers. So if you can't sing right now, Bill, you'll have a perfect voice in heaven. Has anybody ever heard Bill sing? You know what I'm saying. So heaven is going to be a beautiful place, filled with mercy and grace. And heaven is going to be overrun by those who believe. So Jesus came with the purpose in mind of building his church, of populating his church, so that heaven itself is going to be overrun by people like you and me who believe in Jesus. Now, we've already talked about some of these things. So I believe the church is God's primary way to accomplish his purposes on earth. And the key verse that we're looking at this morning is from Ephesians 4, verse 15. And it's this. Let's read it together. Speaking the truth in love, we will grow up to become, in every respect, the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. The one thing we need to be reminded of is that Christ is the head of the church. No pope, no pastor, no bishop, but Jesus Christ. He came into this world. He shed his blood. He died on that cross. And he is the head of the church. He alone. So he's the head of the church. And God's purpose is that we would grow up and become mature. Some of us have a lot of growing up to do. I know I do. Some of us have a lot of maturing to do. I know I do. But yet, God says in his word, the reason for that is so that the body of Christ would do its job effectively and be able to penetrate society in a way that will make an eternal difference.
And that eternal difference is through sharing God's love and making known Jesus Christ in every possible way. You say, so, you know, God will use the church to accomplish His plan. What is the church? Is it the building? No. The church, according to the Greek word church, is the word ekklesia. And that word ekklesia means called out ones. Called out ones. And so if you are born again by the Spirit of God, if Jesus Christ lives in your life today, if you are on a heaven-bound journey, the issue is, the fact is, you are the church. And you are part of the body. And that body transcends denominational lines. That body transcends cultural lines, skin color, languages, no matter what. I can go to South Africa in fellowship with people who are like-minded in my faith. I can go to Nairobi, Kenya. I can go to Jerusalem. I can go to South America, to Honduras, to Guatemala, to El Salvador, and be with brothers and sisters in Christ who love Jesus just as much as I do, and maybe more. That's exciting. That the church is widespread. Over 2 billion members of the church today on this planet. Population that's closing in on 7 billion. The people of God, the church, is about 2 billion. We don't see many of them here on Sunday mornings, I'm afraid. Wish we did. Part of that 2 billion, I wish we'd get together in this room. But you know, the fact is, you are part of the church. You are the church. It's not the building. It's not anything else. It's having a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's knowing Him in your heart. It's believing Him. It's trusting Him. You are the church. There's a little song that we used to sing. You know, this is the church. This is the steeple. Open the doors and see all the people. Remember that? Well, that's really a myth that needs to be busted. The more accurate way of looking at it is this. This is the building. This is the prayer tower. Open the doors and see the release of God's power. We are blessed to have a building. And I thank God for the building. This building's been here, it's only 200 years. It's great. Comfortable, nice pews. Remember when I was a kid, my mother used to take me to her Presbyterian church, and these were hard, straight-back wooden pews. They were so uncomfortable. And you'd get in there, and an usher would come behind you and lock the door so you couldn't get out. There was actually doors attached to the side of the pews. So, you know, I think that's a good idea. The fact is, this is what the church is. You know, we have one another, this body of Christ right here in Bodenham, Maine. We are the church. We are God's people. We are the people of God. We are those whom God has chosen, picked, if you will, out of this world, to be salt, to be light in a perverse and crooked generation, as the scripture says. The fact is, Jesus said, I will build my church. You're part of that building. You're part of what God is doing, what He wants to do. Now, the scripture verse here that we read tells us a little bit about how the early church was, beginning in verse 42, it says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to breaking of bread, and to prayer. To me, that sounds like a pretty important priority. The early believers devoted themselves. They committed themselves. The fact is, if we are to be the church, God has called us to devote ourselves. God has called us to commit ourselves. to the teaching and the preaching of God's word, to fellowship, which is gathering together, worshiping together, finding every excuse under the sun to be together. I think that's the biblical mindset. To be together. I remember I had a great old gentleman. He's gone home to be with the Lord. But every time the doors of the church were open, he was there. You could count on him being there. It was predictable. One Sunday morning, he wasn't there. And it was just like, you know, something was really missing. And he was in the hospital. 3 or 4 days later, he passed on and went to heaven. And so that's the kind of mindset that this guy had. He devoted himself to the teaching of God's word. He loved to hear the word of God. He loved to be in fellowship with other believers. He loved every opportunity, whatever excuse he could find to be with God's people, he was there. And I believe that's the way it ought to be. That's the way it's meant to be. Unfortunately, we're living in a culture where everybody goes their own way. They do their own thing. We are so conditioned by internet and cell phones and everything else today that we have lost out on what God really says in His Word about being truly devoted followers of Jesus. And so it says right here very clearly, it says they devoted themselves to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe. Many wonders and miraculous signs were done. There were miracles taking place. Do miracles happen today? I believe they do. All the believers were together and they had everything in common. They had everything in common. It doesn't say that they were all on one page. had everything in common. They had common desires. They had common appetites. They had common attitudes to please God. They had everything together in common. Selling their possessions and good, they gave to everyone as he had need. So, you know, the idea of health insurance back in that day, you didn't get a policy through, you know, Blue Cross, Blue Shield. Everybody would come to the support of that other person. Of course, they didn't do it exactly like that. But when one was sick, everybody was there. Everyone was there. When I was growing up in Cape Breton Island, Nova Scotia, I belonged to a very close-knit community. The downside was that everybody seemed to know your business. That was the downside. The upside was that when there was a need, whether it was a barn raising or whether it was anything else, anyone was sick or whatever, people would come to one another and support one another. That's what it says it ought to be in the church today. That's the way it's supposed to be today. I see some of that happening here. I wish we were seeing more of it all the time. They were all together. Every day they continued meeting together in the temple courts. They just didn't go to church on Sunday. They came together every day. Every day. They continued meeting. They broke bread in their homes. They ate together with gladness, sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. They were enjoying the favor of all the people. And then finally it says, the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. It really disappoints me that in our denomination of 145 churches in the state of Maine, we only had 62 baptisms in the year 2017. That's sad. That's sad. And you know, this is what happened in the early church. There were people coming to Christ every day. They couldn't help but be impressed by how these Christians loved one another and how they were sharing the love of God in such tangible, practical ways. That, to me, is where the action is. That, to me, is where what God says, God's people, that's how we need to do it today. And we need a revival in our hearts. The Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Finally, I just want to mention to you there is a series of sayings that are very crucial in the New Testament that really apply to here and everywhere when it comes to understanding what the church is. Throughout the New Testament, there's a series of sayings, the one another sayings. I preached a whole series on them once. And this is something for us all to take to heart and to think about, to pray about, and to see where God can plug us in. Where Jesus said very clearly, he said, "We are to love one another as I have loved you." Love one another. See how important the one another part is. The one another. You are the one another. We are the one another. We have accountability to each other within the body of Christ to support one another, to love one another, to encourage one another. It talks about that. The Holy Spirit came into the church by way of you and me. You see, if the Holy Spirit did not live in you, there'd be no church. The Holy Spirit is active, resident in the lives of his people, and teaching us, encouraging us. And so the scriptures do talk about encouraging one another. And to do it all the more as we see that day approaching, as it says in Hebrews chapter 10. Not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, which is the matter of some, but to encourage one another, and to do it every day. Every day. Every day. It also speaks about serving one another. Serving one another. You know, I don't personally believe that anybody ought to be in any leadership position unless they are willing to be a person with a servant's heart. I know pastors, I'm sad to say it, but I know pastors that love being on this emotional high of saying that they can, they can lord it over people. Well, that pastor ought to choose another line of work, because that's not what it's about. It's to serve one another. Serve one another. Just like Henry came up here this morning and put his hand out. Now, we know that Henry was... Henry, we don't give tips here. But Henry was helping. He was serving. Henry is a servant among us. Amen? Amen. He is a servant. And I thank God for people like Henry and others who have servant hearts. Servant hearts. How dare you consider yourself in some office and not be a servant? Not be a servant. That's not what God wants. And we're also reminded, not only are we to love one another, to encourage one another, to serve one another, but we are to teach one another. To teach one another. To teach one another from the scriptures. And there's nothing more wonderful than God's people getting together, talking about the Word of God like we do Sunday mornings in our adult class. Discussing the Scriptures. Someone can see something different about a passage of Scripture that I don't quite see. And they're able to bring that out. And if you've been missing out on that, you're really missing out. Because it is a blessing. Teaching one another. Alright? And also, to build one another up. Scriptures teach us about building one another up. When someone is down, whether that person is down in the dumps or whether that person is down and out, it doesn't matter. God calls us to build up each other in the faith. To build up, not tear down. To be kind and compassionate to each other. Kindness and compassion go a long, long way. And that is something that models Jesus Christ. If you want to be compassionate and be loving, be kind. You are being like Christ if you do that. And to love one another is the most basic one of all. the most basic one another sayings of the New Testament. To love one another, Jesus says, as I have loved you. And we don't know. We cannot understand. We cannot fathom how much God loves us. Because he loves us beyond what we can understand. He loves us beyond what we can imagine. I believe our moms are the same way. Our moms love us beyond what we can imagine, beyond what we deserve, beyond, you know, whatever our reaction would be. We can have 1,000 Mother's Days, and still not come close to honoring and thanking our moms for who they are and what they mean. Loving each other. This is the church, my friends. This is the church. In other words, church, be Jesus to each other. Be Jesus to each other. As you see someone, as you sit beside someone, as you interact with another believer, think of that person as being Jesus next to you. Look at that person as though Jesus is looking at you. Now, I know we're not perfect. We have our frailties, we have our flaws, we have our weaknesses, we have our shortcomings, everything like that. But look at that other person as though you're looking at Jesus. You can do this because, like the early believers in the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit is in you. You are the church. Amen?
Amen.
You are the church. I could get a chant going like that here this morning. But I'm not going to. But I believe the church is God's primary way to accomplish his purposes here in this earth. And you can get sidetracked by doctrine. And you can get sidetracked by a lot of things. But that is the nuts and bolts of it right there. No matter what you think. All right, let's bow together in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for bring us together this morning, for our moms, for the church, the body of Christ, for this whole idea, Lord, that we are in it together for your glory and to extend your word to the ends of the earth. Empower us each and every day and fill us by your Spirit so that we might accomplish your eternal purposes. Through Jesus Christ, we ask it. Amen.